welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. It's a day off for me. Hallelujah. I get so excited about that. I can't tell you how much I'm excited about that. I hope you're having a great day and that you're planning on having a godly and marvelous weekend. And so I hope you've already made plans now to give God your best this weekend. We're going to be turning in the scriptures here back to Genesis chapter 40 one more time. But we do want to take this opportunity to invite you. This is our back-to-school shoe giveaway weekend this Sunday. We're having a joint service with our kids' ministry and adult ministry. It's going to be a wonderful time, and hoping to be able to bless 50 kids with pairs of shoes to start off the school year with. And so it's going to be a great, great Sunday. So if you can't join us for this Sunday, maybe you can be with us on Wednesday night at 6:30 for the kids choir from Belize that is going to be ministering in our adult service. It's actually going to be another combined service. And then if you can't join us for that, we will be getting back to our regular schedule of activities here in the next, starting Sunday. We'll be back to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. After this coming Sunday, August the Wednesday, August the 5th, we're out that time. That's this coming Wednesday. Never mind. Okay, having a brain moment there. Anyway, come out and join us. We want to let you know that it's a blessing to be with you. If you're turn to Genesis chapter 40, going to take this program in just a little bit different direction today. We are going to start off with Joseph, but maybe not something that you would necessarily think of when you read the story of Joseph. I want to take you back to the chief baker. When the chief baker saw, this is in verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 40. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." And today I want to talk to you about how do you respond when the news isn't great? How do you respond when the report is there's no hope? Now, if it's a hopeless report from man's perspective, then the first thing that I want is God's perspective. That's just who I am. That's what I want. Men have been wrong way too many times for me to rely on their perspective without focusing on God's perspective. The baker here, however, is getting an interpretation that is straight from heaven. Joseph has already told him, you know, interpretations belong to God. The dreams, I've done a teaching, you know, was that a dream? Was that a God-given dream, or was that the pizza? That's one of my favorite titles I've ever come up with, by the way, because sometimes you just have bizarro dreams. But in this case, this was a God-given dream with a God-given interpretation. And the baker's dream and interpretation is much more somber, much more serious than the butler's. the butler is going to be restored to his position. And we'd all say, that's marvelous. That's glorious. And the baker is told that in 3 days, he needs to be prepared to cross eternity's threshold. In the Assemblies of God, we have what we call four cardinal doctrines, four preeminent doctrines. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus saves. That is our preeminent thing. We actually have a program. It is called The Human Right. Now you've got to be careful that when you look things up, because there is a campaign out there that's called the Human Rights Campaign, and that is about ungodly principles that people are promoting. But the human right is defined as this: that every man, woman, and child on the planet has the right to hear a clear an honest presentation of who Jesus Christ is. And so that is why we are so passionate about reaching our community. That's why we are so passionate about ministering to our kids. That is why we are passionate about missions. That is what drives us, is for people to hear that Jesus saved. Honestly, that's the reason we're on the radio, is that there are people who may not be able to get out and go to church on a weekly basis. And so we want to bring the message to you. I received an email last week from a man who visited our church recently. And he talked about how he was made to feel welcome in our services. And in his little note that he wrote, he talked about how much peace he felt listening to the radio broadcast, and that was marvelous. That's what we're here to minister to people. Whether we ever get the privilege of seeing your face or not, we want you to know that Jesus saves. And so that is our first doctrine. Our second doctrine is linked with that. And that is that we believe that Jesus heals. And so that's primarily what we're going to be talking about here in just a moment, is that particular aspect about the nature of God, that Jesus is our healer. We also believe that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit being poured out, is essential, because Jesus said he did not want to leave us as orphans. He did not want to leave us alone. And so it was expedient for us that he returned to the Father so he could send the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit is poured out so that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we would be empowered to be witnesses, that we would be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And so We are very thankful for that. That is one of our distinctive doctrines in the Assemblies of God. And then our last of the cardinal doctrines is that Jesus is coming again. We absolutely believe in the return of Jesus Christ, and we believe that that return is imminent. As I look around, you know, I see that many of the prophecies are being fulfilled, and it causes me to want to make sure that my heart is ready for the return of Jesus. Just because I've got REV in front of my name does not mean that I get into heaven just because there's that title there. Just the same as not having a political title, or having a political title doesn't get you into heaven. Having a certain dollar amount doesn't get you into heaven. We need to be ready for the return of Jesus. So along those lines, I will tell you this. I believe that the return of Jesus is close at hand. And so I need to be prepared so that when Jesus does return, that our hearts are ready. We also need to look at the lessons of the Word of God and the lessons from history, and find out that there are some people who may not make it to the return of Jesus Christ, that their appointment with death, the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. it's amazing to me the number of Christians that have unbiblical beliefs in their belief system. There's polling organizations, and they question Christians as to what they believe. A great number of Christians believe that Jesus is not essential for salvation, that as long as you are just sincere in your beliefs, that you're going to go to heaven. And that contradicts the Word of God. There are a number of other people who believe that reincarnation is normal. And I want you to know that the Scripture does not make any room for that at all. You are not going to come back as anything else. You're appointed. The Scripture makes it very clear: appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So you're going to cross eternity's threshold in one of two ways. Either you're going to cross eternity's threshold at the return of Jesus, or you're going to cross it when it's your time to die. If you're the butler, how do you respond when you have just been told that your life is going to end in 3 days? I want to take you today to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. And this is what it says: in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now, in Hezekiah's case, there ends up being a miraculous deliverance, and his life gets extended 15 years. Like I said, we believe in healing. Not everyone that I have prayed for, however, has seen a miraculous healing. We have seen a number of miracles take place through the years as we prayed for people, and we are always very thankful for that. I've told you about my pastor who was miraculously healed of cancer. Very, very thankful for that. I've experienced healing in my body. My wife has experienced healing in her body. So we're thankful for that. But I want to focus on what the prophet told Hezekiah, and that is this: set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And even though when you look at the baker's interpretation that he received, and that was not necessarily an ooey gooey mercy type feeling, it was in fact mercy. How many people unexpectedly cross death's threshold? I was just told of a person a little over a week ago that I knew seemed to be in the epitome of health, and there was something that happened, and didn't think anything of it, and about a week later he passed away. How do you deal with that? And so here, this was an admonition that was given to Hezekiah, and he says, here's what you need to do when you are facing death's door: set your house in order. Set your house in order. And so what Joseph gave to the baker, man, every time I start talking about this story, it's like baker, butler, make sure you get the right one. Every time, or when Joseph gave his interpretation to the baker, what that really was a message to him, and says, you've got 72 hours to make sure that you have your house in order and that you are prepared to enter into eternity. So let me ask you today. You may not have a diagnosis from the doctor that says you only have X number of months to live. You might not have that, but I want to ask you, is your house in order? And if it's not, hear my heart today. God wants to put your house in order. I don't know if you've ever walked into a house that was so messy and you were the one that was responsible for it, that it was so messy that you didn't know where to begin. And you would start working on one area, and then you'd end up in a different area, and then you'd work on a third area. And after working on it for a prolonged period of time, it was still as much of a mess as it was when you started. I want you to know that the only way for us to get our spiritual house in order is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when Hezekiah is told to put his house in order, when the baker is told, get your house in order, I believe that that should be a wake-up call to us. And it's like, okay, let's give this one more look. Let's analyze this one more time to make sure that everything is right with Jesus. You don't get a second chance after death. There's only that one opportunity. And so today, as I come to you, I want you to know that you're not always promised tomorrow. We pray for miracles, we believe for miracles, but only God knows when that appointment with eternity is. I don't want that appointment for me to come any sooner than expected. I want to continue living my life and making the most of every opportunity that God has given to me. But I've got to be ready. The other thing that I see with this statement that is given to Hezekiah, by the way, the phrase set your house in order, or put his house in order, that is a phrase that occurs one other time, and that was with a counselor to David by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel sided with Absalom, and yet when Absalom had driven David out of Jerusalem, he followed Ahithophel's advice for the first part of his occupying the king's palace. But after that, he rejected Ahithophel's advice, and Ahithophel went and put his house in order, and then he went out and killed himself. Let me just tell you this. Suicide is not an option. Jesus loves you. As a pastor, if there's anybody listening to my voice right now and you're battling depression or discouragement, I want to encourage you that Jesus is bigger than your problem. That he has more good in store for you than you are aware of. That his ability to solve problems is greater than what you've imagined. Do not believe the devil's lies. Call the church. Call, you know, send an email. Call a counselor. Call a friend. Call a family member. But whatever you do, do not give up on what God is able to restore. At Merit Assembly of God, our mission is this: to restore value spiritually and relationally. And so that encompasses every area of life. And so I want to encourage you, you do have reason. You know, so what? Somebody rejected you. It's not fatal. It really isn't. If you've just gone through a financial situation, I want you to know money is not everything. If it was, people who are rich would not be as miserable as they are. So whatever you do, don't give up on the life that God has given you. It is a precious commodity, and suicide does not minimize the problem. It is not going to alleviate the pain. Hear me. You say, well, how would you know? And I will just tell you this, that in the you know, 3.5 decades that I have been in ministry, that I have had to deal with the leftover, or, you know, with the problems, the wake of devastation that is left whenever somebody ends their life. So don't do that. Instead of giving up, I want to encourage you to reach out and let God redeem you from that pit. The one last thing that I would say and is this. Why do we want to wait until it's time for our life to end before we put our house in order? Doesn't it make a lot more sense to put our house in order as early as we can possibly do it? Wouldn't you want as much of your life to be lived with the peace and the blessing and the favor of God as you could possibly get? Now, because I've done a good amount of restoration work in buildings, I like to watch renovation programs. I just do. My wife has a subscription to Netflix, and so we're able to see some of these programs on. And I'll never forget, I was going to a minister's meeting over two decades ago, and I walked in and I immediately started looking at baseboards. I started looking at ceilings. I started looking at walls, and the pastor said, what are you doing? I said, well, you don't understand. My building needs so much work that I'm just looking to see how the way that things are supposed to be done. He said, oh, I was wondering why you were looking at baseboards and all sorts of this stuff. And it's because I want to put it in order. And I'll tell you something else. I like to do it right the first time so that I don't have to go back and redo it a second time. That's just the way that it is. So why don't we put our spiritual house in order? Why don't we encourage our teenagers and our preteens to put their spiritual house in order so that their life can be blessed exponentially? Parents, why don't we lead the way in that path? I just encourage you. Set your house. Oh, so I'm talking about the renovating, the home renovation projects. And there are some people, and they wait until they're ready to sell before they do all of these renovations and everything. And they say, because I want to get the most out of this that I can get. And it's like, you could have done this earlier and you would have got to have enjoyed the fruits of your labor, not just doing all of this work so that someone else could enjoy it. What if I told you today that putting your house in order would give you not only a greater sense of satisfaction, but it would give you the ability to enjoy the labors of your life? Jesus wants to save you. Jesus, I believe, wants to heal you. I believe that Jesus wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Jesus is coming again, that where he is, he's preparing a place that where he is, you and I will be with him forever. Those are the things that I believe. But I believe that we would be wise to put our house in order even before we get a diagnosis, even before we're told you just have hours to live or weeks to live. I've seen too much tragedy of people who thought that they had all of eternity, and or they had decades to live, only to find out that they crossed eternity's threshold a little earlier than they expected. 3 days to live. What would you do? Let me just ask you that question. If you were told today that you had 3 days to live, now you would have an advantage over the baker because he's a prisoner. He's not going anyplace. He's not going on a trip to Hawaii or anything like that. But what would you do? Can I encourage you with this? There's two things that I would recommend. The first is to make sure that your spiritual house is in order, and make sure that you helped to establish a priority with everybody in your household that their house is in order. What? I heard something on the radio last week, and it was called the Dad Hour. And this little boy was saying, you know, what time is it? And Dad said, it's Dad Hour. And it, the little boy said something like, that's my favorite hour of the week. So I encourage you not only to put your spiritual house in order, but also do this. Spend some time with your loved ones. You know, make sure that you are going to go out. You know, the scripture says he who wins souls is wise. So I want to go out the same way my Savior did, who when he was hanging on the cross, he looked over and told one of the thieves there, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. As he was hanging there on the cross, he looked and saw his mother there and made sure that she was going to be taken care of. If you are getting to the end of your life, make the most of it. You know, there was an old country song that said, let's go out in a blaze of glory. That's the way I want to go out. I really do. I want to be going, I want my last breath to be praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're going through a difficult time, don't go through this weekend all alone. Let me challenge you to do this. Don't go and try and drown your sorrows. Don't go and try and outrun them or escape from them. Turn around, bring them to the cross, and deal with those issues, and let Jesus give you the victory over those things. Amen? Not the most uplifting message maybe that you've ever heard, but it is a reality. It is appointed unto each man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So you want to make sure that you're ready for judgment day. Somebody posted on Facebook that said, so you believe that only God could judge you. That should scare you. Because God's already told us in his book, his criteria for how he is going to judge. It's not going to be upon feelings. It's not going to be upon political opinion polls. It is going to be upon the word of God. Set your house in order. Let's get ready for the return of the King. Father, I just pray for people right now. Lord, there may be people who are listening that, Lord, they have received a diagnosis that they only have days or weeks or months to live. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, and Lord, that you would let them know that you want to live in their heart and you want to prepare a place that where you are, they will be with you forever. God, I pray that you would establish yourself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in those people's hearts. I pray, God, that they would treasure each moment that they have, each breath that you've given to them. Lord, as for the rest of us, I pray that another day would not go by without us also putting our house in order, that we are ready no matter what comes our way. God bless you so much. I pray that you have a great and glorious weekend, and we will talk to you Monday right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming, Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.